ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I'm a little tired.
Late night?
You know, a little tired. I didn't get home till about midnight.
Yeah.
Close to, anyway. At least back, actually, in bed at home. And I had the dreaded adrenaline rushing because of the way that game was, up and down. You know, it's not often, I don't think, that you see, especially in high school basketball, where a team scores the most points that it's scored all year in a game and also gives up the most points that it's given up all year. But that's exactly what happened with the Elk City Elks.
Well, tell us about it.
Man, it was such a weird game because it felt like the first, I don't know, 5 minutes of each quarter, the Elks dominated, absolutely dominated. And then McLeod would close the quarters, and all of a sudden you'd go, man, wasn't it a 25-point lead a second ago? Now it's down to 11. You know, and it just felt like that was the cycle, but Elk City came out hot. They led 18-8 at the end of the first quarter, and then all of a sudden you looked up, and they had scored like 15 points. I think it was 33-12, like 2 minutes into the second quarter. Caden Dunlap, I thought he's going to burn the gym down with his shooting. he scored seven in the first quarter. Then he had 15. In the second quarter, four made threes, and right in a row. It was like he made two, and then he caught it way out on the left wing, and I actually said, oh, here comes a heat check from Dunlap. Bam. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to scoot back further at the top of the key. Bam. And then he shot one from almost the half line, and it rimmed out. It was like that's when you knew, whoa, this guy. And I actually even said this in the fourth quarter, or maybe the third quarter of the broadcast, when I was counting up his feet, he'd made like his first six free throws. And I mentioned, now he's 6-for-6 from free throw line. He's got 5 threes, da-da-da-da-da. And he knocked down the six. He was so hot that the announcer couldn't even jinx him by talking about how good he was shooting the basketball.
Yeah.
He ended up
We try our best.
Yeah. But. You know, that's the problem. Like, you want to let everybody know, hey, this guy hasn't missed. But you also don't want to let everybody know, hey, this guy hasn't missed.
Right.
But
it's like a no-hitter. You don't want to talk about it.
That's exactly right. He ended up with 36. He actually got saddled with some foul trouble to start the fourth quarter, and I thought that's where Joseph Daly, the big guy down low, really asserted himself. Joseph had 14. Six of those came in the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter with Dunlap on the bench. The Elks were able to kind of keep McLeod at bay for most of the night. They win 83-77. A big part, not only Dunlap shooting, Joseph Daly and the rest of the guys as well. Elk City, 31 out of 36 from the free throw line. And in the fourth quarter, I think they were 14 of 16 or 14 of 17. You know, that's stuff that it has to be done when you get down into those close playoff games. And it came down, I think McLeod cut it to maybe 5 at one point in the fourth quarter, ended up being a 6-point, or 4 actually, 81-77, before Alex Cupp made two free throws to seal it with like 6 seconds left. But the Elks win 83-77. And they move on to this afternoon against Bethany, 3 o'clock up at Kingfisher in the Class 4A Regional Consolation Final. Those two teams played February 1st at Putnam City, and it was a game that didn't go the Elks' way at all. Bethany won that game 71-48. Mm. When you look at Bethany, I mean, first off, depending on which one of those results in the playoffs you want to look at, you could form different opinions about what could happen this afternoon. And here's what I mean by that. If you want to look at the two teams' games against Woodward in the playoffs, you think, my gosh, the Elks are going to get beat 40. Bethany beat Woodward yesterday 72-47, so 25-point win. Woodward beat Elk City right here in the district tournament by 22, 76-54. So you're thinking, oh, no. Flip that over, the team that Elk City beat last night, McLeod, it's who Bethany lost to in district. So that's why you can't really compare score. And Bethany's season's been crazy. Like, they're 13-12, but it feels like the better the team is, the better they've played, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Kind of playing up and down a competition. They're young outside, you know, 6'9", with Wooldridge. He's a senior. Got a couple of juniors. Then the rest of the guys are freshmen. And so maybe that's kind of the topsy-turvy nature of those young guys. When they're playing well and they're hitting shots, they're hard to beat. When they're not, maybe you can. So we'll see what happens. But a great – you know, you always hear the coaches say this. I want to be playing the best basketball at the end of the year. Last night was the best basketball game the Elk City boys have played all year long. So, you know, that was a fine win. And now you turn around this afternoon and see if you can't punch a ticket into the area tournament.
Opportunity there to continue the season. Congratulations to the Big Elks.
Yeah, good win. You were down in Cache. I got to. That was the cool part about playing at night. I was able to watch a bunch of the afternoon stuff before I had to take off with your game with Arapahoe Butler up there against Faisai. Tell us about Canute and Southwest Covenant.
Well, you talk about playing your best basketball at the end of the year. I think that's what Canute is doing right now. Absolutely shot. I mean, dang near ripped the net off with the way they shot in the first quarter. Start off on a 10-0 run in the first quarter, up 22-6, thanks in large part to Jackson Beck's 10 first-quarter points. He had a couple three-pointers to start the game. He was absolutely on fire. When he wasn't, others stepped up. Kyron Winery, he was held scoreless in the first half, so you just thought, well, it's just not his night like it was against Calumet where he had 20, but he erupted in the second half with 13 points. And was very consistent from the free-throw line and able to get there. And I liked how he started the game. It wasn't going his way, but he kept at it. And I mean that in the foul category, too. Picked up a couple fouls, and it didn't get in his head. Stopped fouling at that point. And again, finished with 13. Colt Randall just does what Colt Randall does. He had 10 points. And although Canute started hot, there's a couple times Southwest Covenant cut it to single digits. At one point, they got it within two, but Canute always had a response, whether it be a big three from Zach Potter, or I mentioned Kyron Winery getting inside. You had Kobe Maddox, a facilitator, a great distributor of the ball. And they just kept Southwest Covenant at bay. And Canute never trailed, and one going away by 10, 57-47, sets up today's game against Surreal. Surreal losing to Hydro Weekly last night, 61-51. And I mean, Canute has a shot. I said this yesterday. They play like they did, or like they have been playing against Calumet. You start a game like you did against Southwest Covenant, and hold on to get the win. They have a good shot. They're going to have to shoot well today because Surreal is tall and long. So to counter that, you got to shoot over that. In my opinion, and again, the shooting has been there for Canute. They play within themselves. They got a really good opportunity today to punch their ticket to state. First time in quite some time.
As I say, have the boys been in the state tournament since Brock was a senior?
I did not one of the Camp House boys go?
That's the same team.
You're right, 99.
I think so.
99?
I think that's
right. Has it been
that
long?
I think that's right.
And I'm sure there's other Canutians will text me here momentarily. It's been a bit. It's been quite a bit. I don't want to text Coach. He's already got enough on his mind. I don't want to jinx it, but... last night I'm watching the Hydro Surreal game, and listen, let's face it, we all know what opponent Canute matches up better with, and it is Surreal. And Surreal had a couple opportunities last night to win that game against Hydro. Surreal is a good team. They're, what, a couple years removed from the state title? 2-3 years? We were there. Beat Fort Cobb.
Yeah. Was Kellen a senior?
We were there. I can't remember what year.
18 or 19.
I think it was 18. Maybe it was 18, 19 season.
I think it was 19. Because I think it was the same day that Hammond lost to Varnum.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Point is, we all know Surreal's, they're very, very good.
By the way, yes, 1999.
99. So, Canute's due. Get back. Should be fun games tonight, 8 o'clock. We'll have it on Paragon TV. You mentioned other games Arapahoe played.
That was a fun one, man.
Tell me about that. You obviously you're watching at the same time as Mike.
Yeah, I was flipping. I was flipping back and forth, and honestly, the Arapahoe game was ahead of yours, which shocked me because it must have been what happened in the girls' game before, because it felt like the first half of your game was about as fast as you could play a half.
Yeah.
And then I flipped it over to see where the Arapahoe Butler game was, and they were already in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding. It kind of surprised me. But, you know, they were 3 or 4 minutes ahead, it seemed like, before they were kind of halfway through the third quarter when you guys came back for the third quarter to start. Arapahoe was up 11 at halftime, and then Visai just – they gave the ball to Hazelbaker, and he made plays, either making shots himself, getting in the lane for other guys to kick it out. They erased that entire 11-point lead in the third quarter. It was tied going to the fourth. It was back and forth. Both teams had leads at times. Carlisle had a steal and went down and scored, and then on the next possession he was able to get open again. A couple of turnovers there that gave Arapahoe Butler the necessary kind of advantage that they would need. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just one of those games where, you know, one or two plays, Carlisle hit some key free throws. He was clutch in the fourth quarter for Arapahoe Butler. Hazelbaker fouled out. That was, you know, obviously a detriment to what Visai was wanting to do. But Arapahoe Butler just, they've been in those situations so much over the past, what, 5 years or so, since 2017 when they qualified for the state tournament. They're looking to make their third straight now in this run. They've just been in those situations over and over and over. And they, you know, they know how to handle it. They don't panic. They just, you know, you see some teams when they get behind three in the fourth quarter, say 4 minutes to go, it's just Jack threes trying to tie it. They take their time, get the ball where it's supposed to go, get easy bumps off the glass, and play good enough defense to win. Visai had a couple of chances to send it to overtime there at the end off of the first three, got an offensive rebound and flung one up, wouldn't go. And so Arapahoe wins 56-53. Now they will try to avenge their loss in the regional final, a game that was close, 52-49. They lost to Texoma that night. So Arapahoe Butler trying to make the Class A Boys State Tournament for the third straight year. They'll play Texoma at 8. You're at 8 o'clock down in Cash against Cyril. Class A Boys.
Lady Boys.
And then we'll get to that one.
Oh, okay.
It's a start with Hammond. I'm going to tell you something. I haven't got to watch a ton of them, but when I have, here's the truth. And I don't know how to say it any more plainly than this right here. If they make threes, they're going to win the state tournament. Period. End of story. If they make some threes, they're going to be the state champs, because ain't nobody got anything for Henley West. You have to have so many people guarding her that it was amazing, the space. And Arnett was doing all they could, right? I mean, your choices are make them make it from the outside or just watch 6'4 dominate you inside, right? And so you have to try your hardest for that not to happen. And so then it's all about can they make – and it's not like can they make threes. I'm talking about wide open threes. Mm-hmm. And Hammond's going to generate wide open threes. And if they make them, good luck. I don't know how you beat them if they're making outside shots. I really don't. Because even when they miss – West is so tall and athletic enough to not foul very much. That's the key, I think, to her. And it's got to be hard for officials because she's just so hard to. I would think in my mind she'd be really hard to officiate because she's so tall. I mean, yeah, you see her behind somebody, but she's just grabbing it over the top. She's not touching anybody.
Yeah, she's not fouling anybody. Yeah.
No, and it's the natural inclination is wait a minute, that's got to be a foul, but. It's, you know, she's just, I was really impressed. Heck, I was pretty impressed with Arnett for hanging in there as long as they did. They had chances, I think, 50-35 at one point. They had chances to go away, and next thing you know, they ran off like 9 straight, and they're right back in it, maybe even 10. I think it ended up being a 5-point game, 50-45 at one point there. But Hammond just too much, and very impressed. And here's the problem: if you're in Class B girls and going to stay there, they ain't going nowhere. Because they got about everybody back next
say,
year. They ain't going nowhere.
They have a lot coming back. Kenley West is just a freshman.
And a bunch of juniors. Jolie's a senior, as far as the bulk of the team that plays.
Yeah.
You know, next year will be a senior-laden team with West as a sophomore. But I was really impressed with Hammond. Congrats to Coach Beer and the Lady Warriors. Another state tournament appearance. What is that now? Gosh, it's a bunch. Six out of seven.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
A lot.
I got caught sleeping over here, Jared.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't have that ready for you. I didn't know that snow was coming.
Oh, my gosh. Since 2009. It'd be easier to tell you the times they missed.
Yes.
They missed in 15. And they missed in 20. That's a lot.
That is a pretty frequent.
That's a lot.
Pretty frequent appearance in the Big House.
Played in the title game since 2011. They've been in the title game four different times. And looks for all the world to me like that'll happen again. They're good. They are very, very good. I'm impressed with him. And Arnett, too. I think that'll be a fun one tonight with O'Keen having the revenge factor on their side after getting blown out by Arnett in the regional final. See what Arnett's got back coming back, trying to punch their ticket into the Class B state tournament. The Leedy boys, man, they just ran into Mountain View. Listen, Mountain View is good.
They are good.
They're good. And
I think we knew they were good.
I think we thought there might have been a collision course coming between two teams. We may have had the wrong two.
Right.
We may have had the wrong two. I knew that we were going to get a text from this number today. I had no doubt we were going to get a text from this number. It's our resident Duke fan. And by the way, plenty of time to gloat for the Duke Tigers and Lady Tigers.
Yeah.
I looked up yesterday. I was trying to kind of find scores. 39-7, that Duke boys game was in the fourth quarter over number one Roth. 39-7.
Man.
So Duke boys win. Duke girls also win. They knock off Lakeba Sickles, which I think was number three or four. So both Coach Dawson gets his team to the state tournament, Coach Gable as well. We've got some teams not, you know, Leedy plays good well. We've also got some teams from around the area, not necessarily in the Paragon Network, that are looking to punch a ticket. Sentinel, Lady Bulldogs will play Lakeba Sickles.
Oh, really?
For a spot in the Class B girls state tournament. You've also got, we mentioned you guys, we mentioned Arapahoe. Sealing and Turpin girls. How many people around the state do you think, outside of Sealing, Oklahoma, are rooting for the Lady Cats tonight? I'm going to go with none.
Yeah, not a lot.
I'm going to say not a single one.
Not
outside,
a lot.
Outside of Coach Hamer and everybody up there at Sealing, there's a lot of Turpin Cardinals fans, Lady Cardinals fans tonight. Navajo, Coach Ellison, one step away from the Class A girls state tournament. You'll see that one right in front of you against Cyril.
They
knocked off Oklahoma Christian Academy. Looked like they were in control pretty well most of that game.
Yeah, can I say something about Navajo? Holy moly, their fans travel. And they are loud.
You know,
when I showed up.
Gym is loud anyway.
It is loud, yeah. but when they have the numbers, like, I mean, I think the school provides fan buses. I really do. And they bus them there, and they are loud and proud. And congratulations to Ellison. You know, we're a big fan of his.
Heck yeah. I want him to win so bad.
Rooting for him today. And it was a cool scene after they won yesterday over OCA. Those fans I mentioned were chanting Ellison, Ellison. I mean, they love him down there.
I want him to win so bad it hurts.
Me too.
I love that guy.
Me too. Plus I picked Navajo to go.
Yeah, you did. I'm really kind of afraid to look back behind me because I was looking at some scores from around the state and I was like, darn, I didn't have that one. Darn, I didn't have that one. Oh, Mark the Tiger fan, by the way.
Well, that's what he's going to be known as.
Mark the Tiger. Mark the Tiger fan.
Yeah.
Congratulations, though, to Duke. Seriously, that's good stuff. So, they're honestly, outside of the teams we never see from the east side of the state,
yeah.
To me, they're always the hardest one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because we've seen years, you know, where they had these great records, and it's because they were really, really good. You also see years where they have these great records, and it's because their schedule isn't that great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they came up here to Canute, and Canute just whipped them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that I think that probably stuck in my mind too much and it influenced too much of what happened. And, heck, you never even know if they had their full team. But, yeah, congratulations to Duke, both teams making the state tournament. As I mentioned, Sentinel will play Lakeba Sickles tonight on the girls' side at 6:30. O'Keen Arnett is the other Class B girls game in the area, consolation. Alec and Roth is a boys game. Goodwill, and Leedy's the other boys' game in Class B. Let's do Class A right quick. You mentioned Navajo, yep. Navajo and Cyril on the girls' side down there at Cash. You've got Cyril, Canute, and Cyril down there, and then Sealing, Turpin, and also Arapaho, Butler, and Texoma. So those are the kind of the eight games on this side of the state that will determine the second participant from Class B boys and girls, Class A boys and girls, that will make it into the state tournament, which, shockingly enough, is 2 days away.
Yeah. Hey, you know, our over looks pretty good. If you know, we had an over-under question.
It was 2.5.
It was 2.5. After today, it could be well over, and that's pretty cool. We weren't too – I mean, you know, it's just sometimes it comes in waves where, you know, it might not be the year where we're going to get a lot of teams in. Well, we've had one already punch their ticket. We got three opportunities tonight in boys matchups, and I think they have good opportunities. I really do. Let me ask you, I've been debating this within myself. I've been bringing it to air during my broadcast. I want your opinion on this. Who has more pressure, the team that just lost last night to turn around and get a win to get the state, or the team that's just won two in a row? Or check that, Canute's won four in a row.
I think it totally depends on who it is. But as a blanket statement, I don't think there's any doubt that the team that lost last night puts more pressure on themselves. It is so hard. I know there was a stat for years. It was like 70% of the teams that lose Friday – quote unquote Friday, lose Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, right. I think in recent years that number is scooching back a little closer to 50-50, and I mean, we both kind of paid attention to see what happens. And, you know, sometimes circumstances are that way. You know, who would have ever thought Sealing on the girls' side would be one coming back through?
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, obviously Hydro Weekly was almost that way. I mean, there's a chance they should have lost to Navajo, you know, in that regional final. They didn't. But, you know, so sometimes there's upsets that skew those numbers where that team never should have been there. But as a general rule, I don't think there's any doubt it's whoever lost last night. Because especially, you know, sometimes you see teams, Canute was that way. They lost the first round of regionals. That is so hard to get all the way back. But they've done it. I mean, no one, you know, we'll see if momentum is a thing, because it should be. They've got it all with four straight wins.
They're shooting the ball well, and you're at four straight wins. I was just thinking that on the drive home. You know, Canute's rolling. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. You know, that loss is further away from them than it is that whoever they play tonight. That's Cyril, and Cyril has to turn around and go, man. And then the way Cyril lost, I was kind of hoping, as a Canute fan, hoping that'd be a close game, with Cyril thinking, man, we had our opportunities, you know, yeah, and they're bummed out about it going into tonight. But
the one advantage,
I give a lot of credit to Cyril, though. They played Hydro tough, like we expected in an area final.
The one advantage I would give Cyril, just in this conversation, is the fact that they didn't beat Canute. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no revenge for Canute, like losing in a regional final, then, oh, man, we got him again.
Yeah.
That's not there. Whereas for Arapaho Butler, it is. Because Texoma is the team
got
that beat
three,
them
yeah.
in the regional final. So there's not only the, man, we almost made it to the state tournament last night, but then there's also on the Arapaho side, we'll get you back.
Right.
You know, and I think that's there's times that you see that coming back through and you're like, you almost think, man, you know, maybe an upset the first time. And then the better team wins. I'm not saying that that's the way it is with Arapaho, Butler, and Texoma, but you do see that a lot of times where you're like, man, I can't believe that team didn't win. What? And then they win two in a row, and they get to play the team that beat them. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking in my mind back to 1997 in Elk City over at Clinton, upset Weatherford, the Timmy Ray, that team. With Trent Smith. I mean, that was a good team.
Yeah.
And beat them bad in the regional finals. And then Elk City lost in the area finals on Friday night. And you're just praying that it wasn't Weatherford. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Because
Weatherford beat us like a drum. Because they were a better team. It didn't work that way at Clinton that night. But you just didn't want any part of them. You know, like, please, somebody beat them, so that we can have a chance to beat somebody different.
Right.
Because it was kind of not a fluke with the way that we beat them down, but it was just one of those one of those games that you just knew this isn't going to go well. You know, going into it, it's like, dang, I really wish we wouldn't have played them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. I knew that, Tommy Daniel, Matt Donnelly. That was a good team.
Totally.
There's no doubt about it. All right, so let's run down the schedule for today before we take a break. We have one game in the afternoon. It's going to be me against Bethany. Yeah, Jeremy. Listen, Timmy Ray stole it and dunked it so hard in that game at Edmond Santa Fe that the teams went back the other way, and when they got back down to Weatherford's goal, it was still shaking. I mean, that's how hard. I thought he was going to rip it right out of the ceiling. He dunked it hard. Some frustration from the week before. Anyway, 3 o'clock, Elk City and Bethany. That's a regional consolation final up in Kingfisher. That's going to be on Big Elk TV and Cool 94. I'll get the pregame started at 2:45 ahead of that 3 o'clock tip, or somewhere thereabouts, depending on how the Kingfisher-Manford girls game goes ahead of us. Then everything else is at night, and pretty much everything else is boys, except for one girls game, 6:30 right here on these airwaves, 98.1 FM and 1240 AM, plus Paragon TV. Merritt and Hooker, that's a 2A regional final on the girls' side. Then at 8 o'clock, just flip on Paragon TV and you can find one. You've got Cyril at 8 o'clock, Canute Cyril, Class A boys area consolation final. Rapo Butler, Texoma is the exact same thing, a Class A boys area consolation final. We got Class B boys area consolation final from Woodward, Leedy, and Goodwill. And then also following the Merritt girls game, the Merritt boys play Hooker as well in 2A regional final action from a Fairview. So that's what we got going. If you missed any of that, just go to the Paragon TV Facebook page. Check it out from there. We have the daily schedule posted as we know who's playing.
There we go.
It's what we wait all year for.
Exciting
day
night
like
tonight.
Today. Yes.
Yeah. And then we're going to blink and we'll have a state bracket tomorrow.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll have it during the show. Coaches meeting at 9 a.m. I bet we do.
I think so.
I think they've already got it about ready.
Yeah.
Let's hit the college hoop stuff first, because I think that'll take less time, and then we'll do the NFL at the end. As I mentioned, the two kind of final games in the drum with Texas, and then also Coach K's final outing on Cameron Indoor Stadium with North Carolina coming into town. We had a text. The average ticket to that Duke game is $5,900.
Certainly hope he can make it the entire game.
Probably depends on how it goes.
You think there's anything really there as far as his health? Or is he just calling it quits, calling it a career? Is there some...
You know,
because there's a game this year he left early.
He got sick.
He's done it before. And there are Coach K non-fans that will say, well, he just didn't want to be there before the loss. Or I think they're just looking too much into it. But... I hope health-wise he's all right. He's always looked like a...
He's 75.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't look 75.
But he's had some different things throughout his career at times where he's had a little bit of, you know what I mean, like some small health things, a back that, you know, where he had to bow out of the whole season. One of the most famous shots ever. He wasn't even the coach. When Capel hit that half-quarter against North Carolina. You know, that was where he was kind of out for the end of that year.
Yeah.
I just think he's old and he's accomplished about anything you could possibly try to accomplish. He's not going to go to the NBA. You know, he's done. You know, he coached the Olympics and
yeah,
there's nothing
done,
else to do.
He's done it all. Yeah.
I heard an interesting conversation about this last night driving home on ESPN Radio. Reese Davis he's going to be a part of obviously the stuff in the morning with the game day and all that. And he was talking about how much different Cameron Indoor is viewed because of Coach K.
Okay.
You know, and his point was, what happens to Cameron Indoor if Coach K isn't as successful as what he was? Is there an appetite to bulldoze the little thing and try to get new shiny things?
Oh, I see. Yeah, I can see
because then the arena is the attraction, not the team. I think that's totally valid. When you think about everything that's happened with arena building since, you know, and he was even talking about, you know, at, let's say after the back-to-back titles with Leitner and Hurley, if he decides to take an NBA job, you know, as recently as 93, what would happen? Is there a new gym? And Cameron Indoor.
Or do they do what was done to Gallagher
Island? Yeah, and
they
build
not,
up.
Not necessarily bulldoze it. Do they just expand it?
That's right.
And then, you know, we've talked about that, how it kind of takes the, I won't say charm, well, maybe that the edge off.
Totally the charm.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's an interesting thought that, you know, the reason why that's so cool is because Kay was so good for so long. And the thought of that now seems ludicrous, right? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, what would you do that for to that arena? But you know, back in that time where he had, he could have about gone anywhere really. In the mid '90s or whatever, after the two titles, and you know, pretty well at any point in his career, once he really got going at Duke, he could have had almost any job in basketball he wanted.
Yes.
And then how does that change with the building and the expansion of all the stuff that had happened in that time? But they were winning so much, and that charm was there because of him and the teams he was able to put together. That thought never even occurred to anybody at Duke. Thankfully, by the way. Because right. it wouldn't be the same if that arena wasn't that arena. So I think it's really cool. I think... Hey, obviously, North Carolina has to be the opponent. North Carolina, you know, this is, you know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
Carolina's opportunity right here. And it's funny you mentioned Gallagher-Iba. Because you remember what happened the last game in the old Gallagher-Iba?
Did they lose Bedlam?
I'll tell you what happened.
What happened?
Nolan Johnson dominated.
Oh, yes.
And Kelvin shut down old Gallagher with a win. In Bedlam, yes, that's exactly what happened. Nolan Johnson took the basketball in the second half and just drove it down the lane and scored at will against Gottlieb and Mason and Desmond Mason and those guys. Gottlieb still will mention that about every other appearance on the Sports Animal when he talks to Mark about how devastating that was to those guys to lose that game. And I'm sure it was. Even though it's not a brand, you know, it's still there, but it's not there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So... I'm sure Carolina, Hubert Davis, he'll have his guys ready to go.
What year is that?
1999. Or 2000, one of the two.
Worth a Google.
I think it's 99. Could have been 2000. Yeah, it may have been 2000. Actually, it was 2000. Or was it? I think it was. Because I think the new Gallagher opened in 2001.
So it has to be.
Pretty sure it did. No? God, I can't remember. Well, here's the deal. I had a birthday up there. Maybe it opened in 2001, I think. Anyhow, so that's North Carolina's opportunity. Down in Texas, they're closing the Irwin Center, the Drum. Remember what happened
there? I guess I never heard this. So did they build a new one?
Yes.
They built the new one?
Yes.
I already built, ready to go, or will be ready to go by next season?
Yes.
Is it like... Isn't the Irwin Center on the campus of?
I think so. Don't give me the lion though, but I think so.
I've driven by it. It's a big building.
It's a big building.
It's huge. Like Paycom Center, huge.
Yeah, it's a big old giant arena.
I don't know. I guess I don't know. I haven't been paying attention. Excuse me for not paying attention to stuff that's happening in Austin, Texas, but. Are they keeping the building for entertainment purposes? Are they going to demolish it? Did they build a more smaller arena for basketball that's going to be louder and more fan-friendly?
I think that's the idea.
I see. It's kind of like what OU wants to do.
And probably more amenities.
Sure.
You know, the suites and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Less seats, more stuff.
Right. Okay.
Remember what happened there in 1990? You know what's crazy?
90, man, I was still picking my nose and eating it. I don't know. I was a kid. I was a kindergartner.
Billy Tubbs. Had the number one team in the country.
Oh, they go and lose?
And Rick Fox made the game winner for North Carolina as an 8 seed.
Oh, yes.
To defeat Oklahoma.
Yes.
In the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Okay. I kept thinking it was an OU-Texas game.
No.
Okay.
Now, isn't that interesting? The worst thing that happened to an OU basketball team on that floor had nothing to do with Texas.
Right. That is funny.
Do you think the chaos Saturday with the top six teams in the AP poll losing, do you think that points to kind of a foreshadowing of a topsy-turvy NCAA tournament, or do you think that that just kind of happened?
I think so. I can see that. How many number ones have we had this year?
A few.
Well, that's another indicator, too. You know, there hasn't been one team that's been atop the standings for the majority of the season. It's been
Different than last year. Last year was 1-2, and everybody else was kind of jumbling around behind them.
I mean, I'd have to look it up, but who's number one now?
Since Gonzaga.
Gonzaga's still number one because everyone else lost around them.
Gonzaga's one. Arizona stayed two. Baylor jumped to three.
I know Auburn's been number one. Gonzaga's obviously number one. Has Baylor been number one this year?
They started number one.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think after what happened Saturday and what I mentioned, we've seen a lot of shakeup in the top five, including number one. I think it could bring parity to the tournament, sure.
I do. I just don't.
Well, I say that, and then at the end of the day, it's going to be the same 16 teams that we're used to.
But that's a bunch.
Next weekend.
I mean, obviously, the comparison that a lot of people are starting to make is how much different it is going into the NCAA tournament in basketball versus the four-team playoff in football, where you kind of have foregone conclusions about what's going to happen. Here, you don't. And that's all well and good, and I think that makes sense early. But you know the cool part about what happens in the football playoffs? You get the best teams at the end.
That is true.
That doesn't always happen. I mean, it's cute for an 11 seed to make it to the Final Four, but you know what sucks when they get there? They get their doors blown off on Saturday, and it's no fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to root for the George Masons until they
– VCU and Wichita State, and that's all well and good, and then they get killed.
At least Butler won their semifinal.
That's true. Butler was able to do that. You made the title game twice in a row. Now, the second time, they were way higher seed, but
still, they were still a mid-major. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, in the Zags, I mean, it's funny because they've been so good for so long. I don't even think of them as a mid-major anymore. They're not, right?
No.
I mean, I know they don't play in a major conference, but they're one of the best 10 programs going, maybe even five. And have been for a while. I mean, they've been very, very good for a long time now. So it's weird because when you know anything else, if you had a Gonzaga, you'd be like, oh, how cool is this? It's Cinderella. No, it's the best team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not really. But I do think they're good, but it's so much different than last year because it's like you were trying to – when you filled out your bracket – I know at least it was this way for me. I was trying to find a reason not to pick what I thought everybody else was going to pick, and that was Baylor playing Gonzaga in the final. And that was stupid because Baylor and Gonzaga were the best teams and had been all year long. It's not like that this year, though, to me. There's not anything even close to the dominance that those two teams were able to exhibit throughout the year last year. So, this is a wild tournament. There's a lot of teams that I think, depending on the draw, you know, the matchups, I think the matchups that are given are going to really dictate sort of what happens. You know, it feels like everybody kind of has a fatal flaw. And if they don't have that in their way to the Final Four, you're like, okay, they can make it. If they do, then you're looking down the road going, ooh, they need so-and-so to lose so they don't have to play them in the Elite Eight or whatever.
Right.
I'm excited, though. Because I think we're going to get a good Final Four because I think there's a bunch of good teams. You know what I mean? So it's not like if a couple get upset along the way, then you end up with kind of trash. I don't think it matters who makes it. It's going to, you know, just because everybody's kind of the same. And hopefully it's the entertaining teams and not the boring ones that make it. Like in Arkansas, they're fun. Gonzaga goes up and down the floor. You know, Auburn, up and down the floor. That's more fun than what we see in this conference a lot of times. But you know what's weird? A lot of times when the Big 12 gets out of the conference, they sort of play different. They kind of open it up a little bit more. those teams, the good teams do anyway.
Yeah.
So, do you have an – I mean, without seeing a bracket, obviously, but you have an idea in your mind kind of who you're leaning toward?
As a my national title favorite,
yeah,
or a team,
you know,
that I'm gonna,
final four teams, like you're going to be looking.
Like,
okay, where are they?
Cinderella
at?
Team? Or
no, just the like you have some teams in your mind. Like, okay, I want to see where they're at because I like them and I think they can go to the final four.
Auburn. I want to see where they're at, just like you said. And if they're they get a good spot and a good draw, based on who else is on their side of the bracket, I think they have the capability of making a deep run. Yeah, so Auburn's my team. No, wait, no, erase that. I'm not saying they're my team. Auburn's a team I'm going to keep an eye on. Are they my favorite to win at all? No, maybe not yet. I'd have to see a bracket.
Yeah.
But Auburn has been that team. They were previously number one. Of course, watching play Oklahoma, they look very, very good.
Let's circle it back around to what we started the segment with.
And what's funny is they're probably not going to win the SEC. It's probably going to be a Kentucky, as always.
Yeah, or Arkansas.
Let's
circle it back to what we started this with. Does the K retirement make you want to pick Duke more or less? Do you think there's something there that these guys don't want to go out his last year? You know, do you think there's some magic in that? Outside the fact that they may have five guys getting drafted in the first round.
That's why I was trying to find an answer to that that doesn't involve that. But whether he's going to retire or not, they're
damn good.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And I don't think his retirement has anything to do with that as far as motivation. What, you know, they're just talently, they're very, very good. But do you think that gives him an edge maybe? Maybe that little...
Oh, I think that storyline's going to be there.
Oh,
whether or not it matters or not.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Maybe
it's
it does.
Be mentioned all the time.
Maybe they lock in more in, like, with what they're doing before the game. Does
I
that
think
make sense?
We kind of mentioned about basketball. I think there could be a little pressure on them. Like, guys, we can't lose during Coach K's last season.
There's
we that
don't want
to be
too.
That group that's known as the team that lost in the second round.
How weird would that be, though, for it to just end in the second round? Oh, Coach K's done.
Yeah.
Don't forget that it's time to sign up. Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, ESPN's website. I've renamed the group to Skinny on Sports 2022. Let me make sure I didn't put 2002. I've been doing that lately where I forget, like, typing in the number. But no, sure enough, Skinny on Sports 2022. Play along. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to have a prize of some sort at the end of the day.
Yeah, that reminds me. You mentioned 2002. I over the weekend, you know what I got?
What?
I got an invite to my high school reunion.
Oh, no, 20 years this summer, Jared.
20 years. So it's coming up in May. You want to? That's like
now here's
those, the
question.
One of those feel old moments.
Is it going to be on Memorial Day weekend?
It is.
To surround with the tradition golf tournament and all that? Doesn't that happen then? Or does that happen in Labor Day?
They've had to move that around.
No, it's not Labor Day.
They had to move that around one time because of weather, I think another time because of COVID. I'm not sure about that. But I do know that is always traditionally when Clinton graduates. There, it's always been Memorial Day weekend when they have graduation. So it's going to be busy over there anyways. And I think the consensus was do we want to do it on Memorial Day or do we want to do it during football season for like homecoming?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, because I couldn't go to that.
Yeah. Let's try Memorial Day.
Let's do Memorial Day. And, you know, 3-day weekend, people are going to be traveling anyway, so maybe they could plan around it. But officially got the invite this weekend and
man,
pretty cool. We're going to tour the school, see what the old high school. I haven't been in the high school since I've stepped out of it. Way back when, 20 years ago. Been in the dome, obviously, but not the high school. So get to see how much that's changed. Having dinner at Lucille's. You know there's a Lucille's in Clinton
now?
Yeah,
I knew that there was one coming, or that it was opening.
It's there. And then a family picnic on Sunday, the Sunday of that weekend. Everybody get to meet everybody's kids and count our gray hairs. Or lack thereof hair.
We did a bunch of cooking for hours.
I imagine that's going to happen for the picnic.
We did a lot of, it was early, like 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. which was not a good combination for me, Possum, and J-Mac to be together that early.
I've heard the story.
It was by the time that storm rolled through later on that night, it was a little rough for this guy. question on the text line about Duke. Man, I tell you, I was shocked when I opened up the app, the scoring app.
Yeah.
I was looking for Leedy's score because I knew that Hammond had won. And I actually knew that the Duke girls had won. That kind of surprised me, not shocked as much. Actually, you know what? I was probably more surprised the Duke girls beat La Kiba than I was that the Duke boys beat Roth in a weird way. But the dominance is what shocked me. It was 39-7 in the fourth quarter. You don't really see number one teams, the defending state runner-up, which Roth is, get beat down like that very often. And that was impressive.
Part of me
really impressive
wants to say, are we shocked? Because Duke knows how to turn it on in the playoffs.
See, that's what I'm saying. That like the score is what shocked me.
Yeah.
Not that the Duke boys made it to the state tournament, because like you're right, that they've been there a bunch.
Yeah, they know
how to. The girls have been the ones that have kind of had some weird results. They've been good and they made it, and they've been good and they haven't made it. Maybe they haven't been as good as their ranking has been, and they haven't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know they've had some different results throughout, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, or what have you. Yeah, the Duke boys, I'm not surprised that they're there. I was surprised when I opened it up. It's 39-7 in the fourth quarter. I was pretty surprised that the Duke girls beat La Kiba Sickles, if we're being honest. I mean, I'd kind of in my mind thought, okay, can Duke? It's going to be Duke Sentinel to go to to go to the Class B girls state tournament today. Yeah, tonight. But congrats to Coach Dawson and Coach Gable.
To Bobby and Coach Gable, and I'm you know, it's kind of neat. I mean it's really cool because, you know, I like Coach Dawson and. He's in. We're rooting for Coach Ellis.
Oh, I know. I mean, if there's...
And, of course, our schools...
offense to any of our schools whatsoever. It'd be great if they all win. Yeah, but if I could choose one team to win tonight, it would be Navajo. And it's not even close.
Yeah.
With the relationships that we had with him.
I hope to watch it, yeah.
You know, heck, he was...
He was part of Big Oak TV
at
one point.
He was on our crew. Not only coach of the basketball team, but also with us. And on the, you know, I'll never forget, where were we headed? It was somewhere south. I feel like
Cash or Elgin.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say Anadarko, but I don't think it was. You remember the fight that Ham and Ellison had over the World Series between the Astros and the Nationals?
We were going to Cash or Elgin because we went through Mears and saw.
It was Elgin because we were on 152.
Yeah. Oh man. They went on.
It was like brothers
on.
Fighting each other. They wouldn't stop. And of course, Ham was gigging him because Ham's a Ranger fan like you.
Yeah.
And Ellison obviously liked the Astros, or was just taking the other side, one of the two. I can't, you know, honestly, it felt like maybe Ham was more fired up than Ellison, and Ellison was the one just playing along. But it was.
I just enjoyed it. I was driving. This is my entertainment.
It was like an hour and a half long.
It would. Yeah, that was fun.
So, good luck to everybody tonight, and especially him. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
See him up there.
Man,
at the state
I hope
tournament.
We punch a lot of tickets today.
Yeah.
I really do.
You know, lots of good chances.
There are. The matchups are really bode well for all the teams involved. So, I really hope we can take care of business. And then in a couple days, we're getting ready for a lot of coverage here.
Yeah, hopefully we'll know tomorrow during the show, be able to see that state tournament
bracket.
That'd
be nice.
We've got Paragon TV Facebook page, has the entire schedule today. 3:00, it's Elk City and Bethany. Big Elk TV, Cool 94. 6:30 right here, Merritt and Hooker. 8:00 right here, Merritt and Hooker. And 8:00 on Paragon TV. Canute, Cyril, Repo, Butler, Texoma, Leedy, and Goodwill. Have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!